Well, good morning, church. I always feel like with this sermon series music, I should be like an animated character. Like it sounds like the beginning to a Christmas special, but I'm not an animated character. My name's John. I'm one of the pastors here. If you are new to church, as Kevin said, if you are new to Jesus, if you're asking questions, if you were invited here by someone this morning, we just want to welcome you and say we're glad that you are here on this journey to ask questions about Jesus. We hope and pray something this morning continues you on that journey, maybe asks, or sorry, answers a question and brings up another, but we're just glad to have you here. And if this is your church home, welcome home. We're a couple weeks into this Advent series. It is the second Sunday of Advent, but the first Sunday in December. So how many people here have their Christmas tree up by now? Okay, is there anyone who has not got their Christmas tree up, but you're planning to put your tree up? Okay, a couple people. There's lots of time. Lots of time. You've got weeks. Don't worry. If you wait till the 26th, you'll get a great deal on a tree. Yeah. But we're in Christmas. We're in Advent. We're exploring the Advent themes of hope, joy, love, and peace leading up to Christmas here. And each week, we're also looking at a different verse of the old hymn, Joy to the World. So last week, Pastor Matthew Price, he was here, and he and I kind of did a flip-flop. So the sermon he preached here last week, he's preaching at Walnut Grove this week, and I was at Walnut Grove last week. So this week, we're looking at verse 1 of Joy to the World. And it says this, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. And so this joy to the world, it's a reminder that there is joy in the world because Jesus is here. And that's it. That in this world, there is joy because Jesus is here. And part of our response to that is to prepare room for him. If you've had people come over, whether to stay with you for a couple days or just for a meal, you spend the day vacuuming and wiping counters and hiding things so that people don't realize that you own them. You put them in counters and cupboards and closets. You make the food, you might wash the sheets, but you spend the entire day preparing the room for the person. So that's part of what we're doing. This is the Advent season. Advent means coming or arrival. And so in the Advent season, we remember when Jesus came as a baby, but we also remember that Jesus is coming back again. So there's his first advent where he came as God, made flesh, lived a perfect life, died on the cross to pay the price for our sins. 3 days later, rose again to defeat the power of death. Amen. That's the gospel. And we live in anticipation of when he will come again. So we live between the advents. And so we prepare him room. And so this week, we are looking at the theme of hope. And love, joy, peace, hope. Those are the four Advent themes. And hope is the only one that has a shelf life. Hope is the only one of those three that disappears once it's done. So for example, who here hopes that today is Sunday? It's Sunday. Hooray! If you were hoping today is Sunday, it is Sunday. Your hope has been fulfilled and now your hope is gone. Like it's fulfilled, but it's done. Hope only exists when something else is missing. Hope only exists as we are waiting. Hope only exists in anticipation. Hope only exists when we need something that we don't have. See, hope is the journey of the in-between, from promise to fulfillment. Hope is the journey. What do we do when we don't have what we're expecting? What do we do when we don't have what we need? What do we do as we wait for the arrival? Hope. It has a shelf life. One day, hope will disappear. Now, hope, the way that we use hope, often it means something we really, really want, but we're not sure if it's going to happen. And so we would hope that the weather is sunny. It's not, but I hope it gets sunny. But we can't control that. I, yesterday, hoped that the Vancouver Whitecaps would win the championship. There was a point at which I did not know, and now I know that they did not. So my hope is now disappointed, but it's also done. Yeah, it was always next time. It was still a fun journey. There's hope that you drop your car off at the shop. You hope it's not going to cost too much. You hope it's going to be a cheap fix. But it's these things that we want, and we aren't sure if they're going to happen. Good, but uncertain is how we often use hope. And that's when we hope for something, when we're hoping for the outcome. But there's another kind of hope. Not so much the hope for, but the hope in. Hope, in some ways, cannot be separated from trust. And so as we wait for it to be sunny, as we wait for our car to come back, as we wait, what are we hoping in? Not just what are we hoping for, what are we hoping in? Who or what are we trusting in the meantime? See, in Psalm 37:9, it talks about this kind of hope. It says that those who hope in the Lord will inherit the earth. And what are they hoping for? Well, it doesn't say. It just says that those who hope in the Lord will inherit the earth. So it's not what they're hoping for. It's what they're hoping in. It's the anchor. It's the foundation for them. And so hope, when it comes to God, when our hope is in God, that hope does not disappoint. That hope is reliable. In Romans 5:5, it actually says that the hope that God gives us, it does not disappoint. It does not put us to shame. It can also mean it doesn't embarrass us. Because sometimes when we hope, we can be embarrassed. Now, if Emily and I did not grow up in Langley area, we moved here about 14 years ago. So we lived just kind of by the Otter Co-op there, south of the building here. And so one day we woke up and we're like, let's go to the lake. And we've tried to live like tourists in the lower mainland here. So we want to go to all the lakes and the festivals and the mountains and just explore the area in which we live. So we're like, let's go to the lake, one we haven't been to before. But let's go to a close lake. So we woke up, we packed our swim stuff, we packed our towels and our picnic and wagon and all of that stuff. And we hopped in the car and like, the closest lake seems to be Aldergrove Lake Regional Park. So we got in the car and we drove to Aldergrove Lake Regional Park. What is the problem with Aldergrove Lake Regional Park? There's no lake. So we are at Aldergrove Lake Regional Park with swim trunks and towels and a picnic ready for a day at the beach. And we were embarrassed. Our hope disappointed us. Our hope let us down because for some weird reason, we thought that there would be a lake. But there was a forest and a field. And that hope let us down. That hope disappointed. That hope put to shame. God's hope does not disappoint. God's hope does not embarrass. It does not put us to shame. That when we trust God's hope, we are not going to wind up in our swim trunks in the middle of a forest looking at our field. That we can trust God. In Hebrews 6:19, it actually says that God's hope is an anchor for our souls. So if you imagine a ship on the water when the waves come and the storms and the wind and it gets blown back and forth, you drop the anchor and all of a sudden the ship doesn't go quite as far and it can make it through some tough weather. And so God's hope, it does not disappoint. It is a sure and firm anchor for our souls. See, when we hope in God, we don't have to worry whether he's going to come through. We don't worry whether he's going to keep his promise. We don't worry whether we're going to be put to shame. We might wonder when God keeps his promise, but we don't have to worry whether he will. See, when we hope in God, we don't have to worry. It is sure. It is an anchor for our souls. And we're going to look at part of the Christmas story where we see someone who understood this kind of hope. If you want to open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 22, if you have a Bible app, it's going to be on the screen as well. We're going to look at a man named Simeon. So Luke chapter 2, verse 22, it says this. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would you open our ears that we would hear well what you are saying today? Where we are waiting, where we are hurting, God, where we are holding on to a promise that you have given, would you bring these to mind this morning? And as we look at hope, would we be reminded of your character? God, would we hear what you're saying? Soften our hearts that we would respond. We pray this in your name. Amen. So one interesting thing, this isn't what the sermon is about. This is just something that we could quickly miss in a passage like this. Joseph and Mary came and they brought a pair of doves or two young pigeons as part of the sacrifice. Now we just think that, and it might go over our head, but if you go back to Leviticus chapter 12, verse 8, it says that when a family has a baby, the sacrifice required is a lamb. But if they can't afford the lamb, then they do the doves or the pigeons. So this was actually the sacrifice for a family that couldn't afford the proper sacrifice. So what this means is that when Jesus was choosing the family with which he would dwell, he chose the ones that did not have a lot of money. That's not what the sermon's about. I just think that's interesting. Something we could easily miss. Now, Simeon. We don't actually know a lot about Simeon, but what we do know is that he had an amazing relationship with the Holy Spirit. See, all we know is about Simeon is right here. We don't know what his job was. We don't know how old he was. We don't know his family situation. We don't know anything. All we know is what we just read. It seems to suggest that Simeon was older because when he met Jesus, it seemed to be the last thing on his bucket list. It's like, okay, I met Jesus. Everything's wrapped up. I can be done. But even that is just an assumption. We don't actually know a lot about him. But three key things we do know about him. One is that he lived with the Holy Spirit. You know the stereotypical picture of the pirate with the parrot on his shoulder? Imagine that. That he's walking along and the Holy Spirit is just with him. He has breakfast. The Holy Spirit's with him. He goes for a walk. Holy Spirit's with him. Has coffee with a friend. The Holy Spirit is with him. It says that the Holy Spirit was on him. He lived life in relationship with God. A couple weeks ago in our Freedom Series, in Step 11, we talked about improving our conscious contact with God. And so are we aware of the Holy Spirit with us? Are we aware of God's presence here right now? Because all of this hope and this trust is wrapped up in a relationship with God. And out of this relationship was a conversation. Simeon listened to the Holy Spirit and he received this promise that for some reason, we don't know when or how or why, God told Simeon that he would see the consolation of Israel, the Messiah, the one that God would send to save his people. Now this is beautiful and it's wonderful. And it's weird. Like if someone came up to you and said, hey, I've got the greatest news. I was doing my Bible reading this morning and God just told me that I wouldn't die until I met the most famous baby in the world. You'd be like, I have to go. And that's weird. And as a pastor, if I heard someone saying that to people, I'd be like, we should have a conversation. Because that's weird to say that. I think I would probably be tempted to avoid/keep a close eye on that kind of a person. But it's weird and it's wonderful. But the beautiful thing is that it's true, that God gave this promise. And again, we don't know how or when or why, but Simeon had this relationship, this conversation where he receives this promise that he would not die until he encountered Jesus. But it was within relationship. If you go shopping and you have a 25% off coupon, you walk into a store, you buy your item, you place the coupon, you receive the discount. That's not relationship, that's transaction. But I was at a coffee shop a while ago, and one of my former youth was working in the coffee shop. And so I walked in and they're like, hey, John. And I'm like, hey, person, I don't wanna share where it is or who they are because I don't want them to get in trouble. But they were like, John, I'm gonna give you the family friend discount. I'm like, that's amazing. And so that wasn't a coupon, that wasn't a transaction, that was a relationship. And I think that was the context in which Simeon received the promise. It wasn't a 25% off coupon, it was a relationship. And so out of this relationship comes the promise, this conversation, and Simeon held on to it. And then finally, one day, he's led by the Holy Spirit, he's listening so well that the Holy Spirit says, hey, head to the temple, verse 27, he's led by the Spirit to the temple, and he meets Mary, Jesus, and Joseph. Now, I think the story here, this is all we have of Simeon. I think the story is beautiful, but I think it does us a little bit of a disservice. Because what it says is Simeon was with the Holy Spirit, he received the promise, and the very next verse, he meets Jesus. So our distance from promise to fulfillment is one line in the story. But how much time do you think passed between those two things? We don't know. Personally, I think it was a while. I'm not basing that on anything. I just think so. So he receives the promise, and we have no idea if it was minutes or hours or months or years between the promise and when he met Jesus. Personally, I think it was a while. I wonder if there was a moment where he felt discouraged, where he maybe went to the temple and he's like, well, is that the family? Is that the person? Is that the one? That maybe he would just sit and people watch as people come and go from the gates of Jerusalem and say, God, is that the one? Is that the one? I wonder if there was a moment where maybe he told his friend what God had said, and his friend came up to him and is like, hey, did you meet the Messiah yet? How's it going on the baby hunt? Did you meet them? Did you find them? I wonder if he was ever a little embarrassed. And we don't know. But I personally suspect that it was a distance of time between the promise and the fulfillment. But when the day came, however long the waiting was, the entire promise was fulfilled in a moment. And he met Jesus. See, when God gives a promise, what you're hoping for and hoping in are all wrapped up together. And when God gives a promise, we don't have to wonder or worry whether he will keep it. We might just wonder when, but God's hope, his character, his faithfulness is an anchor for our souls. It is firm, it is sure, and it will not let us down. If you've never heard this before, let me say to you that there is hope in the world. There's joy in the world because Jesus has come, but there is hope as well. And hope is what we have when we don't have something else. Hope is the journey from brokenness to healing. Hope is the journey from promise to fulfillment. Hope is what we have when we are missing something, when we have less than we need. That is when we hope. Hope is in the middle, and God's hope does not disappoint. It does not let us down. It is an anchor for our souls. But John, you may say, I have been let down. I have been hurt. God did not keep his promise. You don't have to raise your hands, but have you ever felt like God has let you down? That God has broken a promise? That there's something that you feel like God promised this, and yet my experience is this? There's been times that I have. And I wonder, maybe we feel like God has let us down because he hasn't kept us his promise. But I wonder if the word that we need to hear this morning, I wonder if the word that the Holy Spirit would bring is simply the word yet. God has not fulfilled his promise yet. That he hasn't come through yet. See, however long Simeon waited, there was one day when it was the day where the promise was fulfilled. There were all of the days he didn't meet Jesus until there was the day that he did. And so there was a time where God simply hadn't fulfilled the promise yet. And maybe that's where we find ourselves today, is that God has promised and God is faithful, but it hasn't happened yet. And so what I would encourage you to do is just hang on to the yet. Yes, it hasn't happened, but it hasn't happened yet. That maybe today is the day, and maybe tomorrow is, that God will keep his promise, that God will do what he has said he will do. But maybe you hear that and you think that's all fine and well, but for me, not yet is too late. It's actually, we're past that now. That the one I loved did not get better. The person I trust hurt me instead of helping me. This thing that everything depended on, this thing that everything was anchored on, this thing that was going to change the direction, it fell through, and now I'm desperate. I'm desolate. And God has failed, and not yet is too late. And sometimes we want good things, and sometimes we trust in God, and sometimes it even feels like God has promised something. And what the promise is here, and our experience is down here. And I don't have an answer. And I don't know. And I'm sorry. And sometimes we just don't know why the difference is the way that it feels like it is. And in that moment, we do something called lament. So yeah, I think Simeon's story is beautiful, but Simeon's story is so short. Promise, led, fulfilled, boom, three sentences, and we're done his entire journey. But there's other people in the Bible where actually the journey is spread out. And in Psalm 44, maybe this morning, Psalm 44 is actually the psalm for you. And Psalm 44 is the psalm where the people of Israel say to God, God, we have kept your promises. We have trusted you. God, we have believed in you. And it seems actually like you're asleep. So we're wondering, when are you going to do the thing that you said you would do? When is it that you're going to keep your promise? Because it feels like you've let us down. And that is what we call lament. God, the promise was here and my life is here. What's the deal? And it is okay for us to share that with God. He has big shoulders. He can handle it. And so maybe when it comes to this discussion on hope, what we do is we actually recognize that what we were hoping for didn't happen, but maybe we can return to what we're hoping in. And this conversation, this lament, this honesty with God saying, God, I don't understand why this happened. It means that we can hold what we're hoping for with an open hand and that what we're hoping in remains an anchor for our souls. That this conversation to say, God, I don't understand, it actually is an expression of hope in that context of relationship. So maybe we're in the middle and it's just not yet. Maybe it feels like it hasn't happened, it's too late for not yet, and so we're in a season of lament at Christmas. And maybe what we're hoping for is actually no hope at all. Maybe it's off-brand hope. Maybe it's no-name hope. Maybe it's Temu hope. You saw it online and you ordered it, and when it showed up, it was much smaller than what you expected. See, sometimes what we hope for and what lets us down, it actually wasn't what God had promised. It was actually just what we wanted. If you've ever applied for a job, asked someone to go for coffee or tried out for a team, you had high hopes. And then when it doesn't happen, you feel let down. And I've had times where that has happened, where these things that you actually put a lot of your hope in and then it doesn't happen, you think, God, why did you let me down? But in that moment, it might not have been that God had promised you. It's just that your prayer life was equivalent to uploading your wish list. Hey, God, I'd like this, 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 this. Thank you very much. Have a good day. And our prayers are just our desires going up. And then when those things don't happen, we feel like God has let us down. But it might not be that God has promised that at all. Which is why it's so important that the relationship where our prayers go up and then we also listen for what God is saying, that it's a conversation. That it's a dialogue, that we're not only speaking to God, but we're listening to him as well. And it's when these things happen, it is hard and it is okay to be disappointed, but our disappointment is different from God letting us down. And so it might be that our hope, it wasn't hoping for anything that God had promised. It was just hoping for the things that we wanted to happen. And it might be that our hope was not actually in God. Maybe we were trusting something else. Now, I'm a pastor. I preach. I'm at work right now. Thank you for visiting me at work. And on a Sunday like this, I get extremely thirsty. And so I also like to drink things. I tried 1,000 ways to think of how to say it. I will drink like 10 cups of water. I'll drink like 10 cups of pop. I will drink 10 cups of, like, I just like to drink, which is why I've had to be very, very careful with alcohol. I need to make that explicit. I'm not talking about alcohol. I like pop. So on a Sunday morning, sometimes Emily and I will be like, hey, let's go for lunch. And Emily and Ezra and whoever else will be like, where do you want to go? And there's a lot of Sundays. I don't care what we eat. I don't care where we go. I want to go somewhere where I can fill my own cup with refills. I want one of those fill your own cup things because I really like pop. And a lot of restaurants, if they have a server, they're slow to bring the refill. And if they bring the refill, you might only get two. I like 4 or 5 or 6. My record is 12. That's not good for me, but I like it. And so when I go out for lunch, when I'm thirsty, I want to go to a place where I can do it myself because I don't think that they're going to do as much as I want, as fast as I want. And sometimes our hope is like that too. That it's this combination of fear and pride that I am afraid that God will not give me everything I'm asking for as soon as I need it. And pride saying that I can do it myself. And so I position myself in such a way that I can fill my own cup. So if I don't think God will give me enough money, Maybe what I'm going to do is value all of life's experience through their cost. Maybe I'm going to cut corners. Maybe I'm going to work hard for too long. Maybe I'm going to be stingy and hang on to it because I'm trying to get as much as I can instead of trusting God. Maybe if what I need is love and significance and acceptance, I might brag or exaggerate or put other people down or tell stories slant so that I look good or let my boundaries slip so I'll do something that someone else wants even if I don't want to. I start to people please, all for this desire to be liked and to be loved. Instead of trusting that God's going to do it, I'm sitting there trying to fill my own cup to get as much as I can, as fast as I can. And so hope, it might be that we're actually like a boat that anchors itself to itself. See, when I'm trusting myself for what I need, that hope disappoints. That hope lets you down. And so maybe hope is hard this morning because you're in a series of not yet. Maybe hope is hard this morning because you're in lament. Maybe hope is hard because what you're trusting for is actually just your wish list and we've confused Jesus for Santa. Maybe hope is hard because we're trusting ourselves rather than God. But God's hope does not disappoint. God's hope does not put us to shame. And God's hope, I would say, is a fighter. I used to, if I had to, draw a picture of hope. I don't have to draw a lot of pictures. I would imagine hope as the tooth fairy. You know, like the pink leotard and the tutu and the little wand. And when things get a little bit bad, they give you however much money and you feel better about life. That's hope. Tiny and delicate and smiling and lovely. But I've actually changed my personal picture of hope. It looks less like a tooth fairy and more like a boxer. And a boxer that's not doing well. Like a black eye is missing a teeth, bloody nose, kind of staggering on the feet. Because hope, when it gets knocked down, it gets back on its feet. And hope stands there and says, I didn't hear no bell. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep pushing because hope doesn't depend on how good your day was. Hope doesn't disappoint when your day is bad. Hope keeps going. Hope keeps fighting. Hope is in it. God's hope is a sure foundation. God's hope is an anchor for our souls. God's hope does not disappoint. God's hope does not give up. God's hope does not depend on whether or not it feels like God's hope is steady. God's hope is steady. Hope is a fighter. I appreciated how Jay shared the 10 minutes where he felt like God's hope disappointed. I suspect he knows exactly when that moment started and when that moment ended because I can only imagine what those 10 minutes were like. That moment of despair, of anxiety, of uncertainty. See, hope is what we do in the middle. Hope is what we do when we don't have what we need. Hope is what we do when we're waiting for the arrival. And when hope seems like it disappears, the world gets incredibly dark indeed. It feels hopeless. But God's hope does not disappoint. Emily reminded me a couple of years ago, you know how we do like the Advent stories here? 3 years ago, the Advent story was Emily and I sharing on hope. And so I found the old video. We have it here. We're not going to play it. But I looked at the video. I'm like, man, I looked awful. Because that was in the middle of my journey with long COVID. And so that's been almost 4 years ago now. And there were good days and there were bad days. And there's so much that we've lost. There's still things that I can't do what I could do before. And that is where I've learned that hope is a fighter. That hope doesn't depend on days being good. That hope doesn't depend on how I feel. Hope depends on who God is and what he's promised. And I have learned to hold my hoping for with an open hand, but to grip tightly onto what I'm hoping in, and what I hope in is Jesus. And it was actually about 2 or 3 weeks after that video played here that we had some members from the prayer team come to our house and pray. And it wasn't like a switch being flipped, but it was like exiting the highway. And that's when my health started to get better. And there are still things that I can't do that I used to do before. But I hold what I'm hoping for with an open hand. And I hold tight to what I'm hoping in. That my anchor is Christ. And it is in him that I hope. See, hope is what I'm hoping for when I'm in the middle, when I don't have what I want. Now, I just want to say I love you all. You're all wonderful, incredible, and I'm sure you have many good ideas and opinions. I'm not looking for you to fix my health. I'm sharing my hope. I'm not talking about my health. Does that make sense? And so I love you, but I don't need advice. Hear my hope. My hope is in Christ. And Christ's hope does not disappoint. It does not put to shame. It's not perfect, but it's a fighter. And so what are you hoping for this morning? Is there a relationship? Is there a need? Is there something in your heart that you feel broken, that you feel that shame, that you feel lonely or isolated, something that you just need to know that it could be different than it is? And that is the journey of hope. Hope is what we do when we don't have something else. Hope is the journey between promise and fulfillment. But that hope is anchored in Jesus. It's like saying, I want to grow apples, but I don't want to plant a tree. If you want the apple, you plant the tree. In the same way, this hope, it comes from knowing Jesus, a relationship with Jesus. It comes from that similar to Simeon, that being with God in our day-to-day life, that is where that hope is anchored. And so if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we would love to introduce you. That is where the hope and the love and the joy and the peace in the world is. There is joy in the world because Jesus has come. And so this hope, it is anchored in Jesus. And if you do know Jesus, well, what does hope look like? Well, in Galatians 5, Paul writes something that's a remarkable parallel to the life of Simeon, that we live with the Holy Spirit, that we're led by the Holy Spirit, that we listen to the Holy Spirit, that all of this hope happens in context of relationship with the Holy Spirit. So are you right now aware of the presence of God in this room? Are you aware of the presence of God in you and with you and in the person beside you and in front of you and behind you? Do you remember that this season is when we celebrate that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us? See, hope isn't an idea. Hope is, it's rooted in relationship. And so do we live with the Holy Spirit? Do we listen to the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? What was the last thing that the Holy Spirit said? Do we have time and space and places in our lives where the Holy Spirit can speak to us? Or are we just uploading our wish list to God and hoping that he does everything that we've asked? So are we living with the Holy Spirit? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? And are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Are you open to the nudging of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, do you know what? Today's the day. Head over here. You're going to see the promise fulfilled. Hey, do you know what you should do? You should do this, that, and the other. Like, are we open to the Holy Spirit leading us? See, the longer I hope, the less I hold on to what I'm hoping for, and the more tightly I hang on to what I'm hoping in. So what are you hoping for? What are you hoping in? And maybe for you, it's the reminder that God has not fulfilled his promise yet. And so keep going. And maybe for you, it has been a lot of days and you're tired. And I think it's okay to say to God, God, I'm getting weary. I'm starting to wonder if I heard right. I'm starting to wonder if you're actually ever going to do it. And it's okay for us to tell God those things. If our experience is here and God's promise is here, it's okay for us to bring that to God, for us to lament. And if you are in that season of feeling tired, like you're going to give up, that season of lament, we have a prayer team. We'd love to pray with you. After the service, there'll be someone at the front. There's someone in the prayer room. Or just talk to someone who loves Jesus and loves you. And just share that honestly. That it's okay to be tired. It's okay to lament. So I'm going to invite up the worship team. In a moment, we're going to have communion. And we're going to take it all together. But hope has a shelf life. And what this means is that one day we won't need to hope because everything that we hope for will be fulfilled. And so we live between the Advents. The first coming when Jesus came as a child and the second coming when he will return and make all things new. When he will make all things right. And in the middle, we live by hope. We live with lack, but as we are missing what we need, we live with hope. So for communion this morning, the bread, it represents Jesus' body. The juice, it represents his blood. And what it does is it reminds us of how Jesus came as a perfect baby, but he lived life as a sinless man. He died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, and 3 days later, he rose again. And when we eat the bread and when we drink the juice, it reminds us of what Jesus did. It's an expression of relationship with him. So if you are a follower of Jesus here this morning, we would invite you to join us. If you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, we are so glad that you're here. This is an expression of relationship with Jesus. And so if you are wanting to step into that relationship with Jesus, we would invite you to have a conversation. We'd love to have you join us. But otherwise, it is an expression. It's a reminder. And what it does is, in the words we will read in a moment in 1 Corinthians, it says that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. See, communion is fundamentally an act of hope, that in the waiting between the Advents that we say that our hope is in God. This anchor for our souls. So as you come up and take the bread and take the juice, just hang on to it. We'll take it together. But as you come, I would encourage you to just have a little conversation with the Holy Spirit and say, where's your hope? Maybe for you, you feel hopeless, and what you need is just to receive hope that it could be different, that things could be better. So just as you come, then maybe it's an expression of receiving hope. Maybe for you, you feel like the journey's gone way too long and you have been hoping for something that never feels like it's going to be here. In that case, as you come, maybe this is an expression of renewing hope. And maybe for you, this has been a week where God has just done incredible things, or a month or a year, and you look back and you're like, God has been faithful. Then maybe this morning, that this is a proclamation of hope fulfilled, of God's faithfulness in your life. So whether it's receiving hope or renewing hope or proclaiming hope, whatever it is, would you just have that conversation with God as you come up? I will come around with a tray if you need, if the ramp is difficult, I can come to you. Main floor, if you kind of come down the side aisles, return to your seat through the middle. Balcony, there's a table in the middle there. I'm going to invite the communion servers forward. And as they come, would you please stand if you are able and join me in prayer. So Jesus, we live lives in between the Advents. We live lives of waiting. And so God, as we wait, as we lack, as we hurt, as we need, would we encounter your hope? That this journey between promise and fulfillment, God, would we journey it with hope that is anchored in you? So for those who need hope, God, would they receive it? For those whose hope is tired, would it be refreshed? And for God, where hope is being proclaimed, may you receive the glory. So we thank you for the death that you died. And with it, would you remind us of the hope that is in you? We pray this in your name. Amen.